Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor for June 25th, 2013. It's your homie, Wayne Benitez Jarrett, up on here. Yeah, we got a guest in store for y'all. Representing the BX, professional wrestler, a member of Bobby Lombardi's Doghouse, LIWF. That dude, Sony Black.
Yo, what's going on, world?
Chilling, man.
I liked the intro song, man. That was thorough, man. I love Fat Joe. I'm not from that many blocks away from where he's from. I was two blocks away from
him. Right. Yeah, I got to go back. That's one of my representing Fat Joe, Big Pun Terror Squad.
No doubt.
Yeah. And how was it like to be part of Bobby Lombardi's Doghouse?
I was solid, man. Like, it was a rough thing. Like, I tell a lot of people and stuff, it wasn't for the weak at heart. A lot of people got hurt. A lot of careers got ended there. But on the same note, that same ruthlessness that they applied to, like, training people, it made everyone efficient, man. You can't get that type of training nowhere else. They were probably the best in – they were definitely the best in New York, but they were probably some of the best in the game as far as training.
Right. Right. Yeah, they definitely keep – it's like one big family, like the Doug House alumni.
Yeah, man. It's a strong camp, man. I still think there's still more people that's going to, you know, me included, I still think there's more people from Dark House that still haven't yet got to the peak of where they're going career-wise, but I think people are going to start seeing a few more Dark House faces on mainstream TV very soon.
Right. Yeah. Can't wait for that. That's going to put names in doors. I want to see more of that.
No doubt.
Yeah, and what got you interested in becoming a pro wrestler?
I don't know. I've been a fan of it since I was a kid, man. It's like a real life comic book or a real life anime or video game or something like that. And I guess one of those things that you just know is for you the moment you see it. Like, I knew from the moment I first seen pro wrestling that this was for me. So I knew that's where I had to be.
Right. And who were your the people that you looked up when you was watching the sport pro wrestling?
At different periods, I had, like, different favorites and stuff. Like, when I was younger, I really, really liked the Bret Hart because I felt like I could be Bret Hart. I never felt I could be Hulk Hogan, not as far as being that big a star, but physically being that big. I never thought I'd be a big muscle person like that, and I never thought I'd be 6'9" either. So Bret was more closer to my height, and I felt like with proper diet, hard work, man, anybody can be Bret Hart. So he was my hero initially. And then, as I got older, I started liking guys like Bam Bam and Yoko because they were the bigger guys and stuff. They were only real fat guys on TV. And they weren't bums either. They were great for guys they saw, very agile, quick. I even got to meet Bam Bam before he passed away.
Yeah, that was, I was sorry to hear that when he passed. I was shocked.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And definitely, it's a lot of big men that are good workers out here that's also made it in the biz, like guys like Big Daddy V.
I'm supposed to be working V soon, and I think April 3rd, I'm supposed to be working him for his partner's promotion. He's running a show April 3rd, and they're reforming Men on the Mission to take on me and Barrington Hughes.
Yeah, that's what's up. and definitely now it seems like they need more bigger men or any type of size in wrestling. It's not all about the 12 packs and all of that.
I mean, I think it's about time, man. I think everybody should get a chance if they're good.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's face it, man. We all got into it for the reasons that characters appeal to us. If all the characters looked the same when everyone first started watching wrestling, people probably wouldn't have been into it that much. But if everyone looks different, there's something for everybody. And that way you draw more people and you draw as many people as you can in that way.
Right. I just hope these companies like Ring of Honor, TNA, and certainly WWE could continue to bring in more guys like that. That can be also in there with guys like Mark Henry and the Big Show.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. I hope more promotions take a notch out of their playbook and just really start diversifying things, man, bringing just different-looking people.
Right.
I mean, shit, it seems like everybody got the same hairstyle nowadays, too. It's like, find somebody original, just like a needle in a haystack.
Right. And it's about 10 to 12 dudes looking like Randy Orton.
Man, he's so copied on the indies right now. Man, him and CM Punk, I think they're probably the most copied workers on the indies right now. Like, I remember, like, I think it was like 2008-ish when, like, everybody wanted to be AJ Styles. Everybody went out and got the sleeveless leather hoodie. They all got the bike tights. Everyone was doing the Styles Clash. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Somebody do something different. But, you know, pro wrestling is like that. You're always going to have fads that somebody do something cool and it catches on. And before you know it, the entire sport is doing it until they played it out to death. And then it's time to reach for something new.
Right. Yes. Who were the people do you like working with more on the indie scene?
You know what? You know who's my favorite opponent that I've worked a couple of times as of late for PWS? I'd probably say A.R. Fox. I think he's probably one of the most versatile wrestlers out there, great high flyer. I love this guy to death, man. He's an excellent talent. Nia Yim, too. I wanted to say her. I wrestled her. She was, like, phenomenal.
Yeah, my homie, Nia Yim, she definitely a good worker. She loved working with guys and all types of women out there.
Yeah, she's dope, man. I definitely tip my hat to her.
Right. And that's another one that deserved to be in the big two.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I told her before we had worked each other that night, I personally think she can go anywhere in the world she wants to. It's just up to her to decide when she wants to go and if she wants to go. But, you know, talent-wise, there's never been no question that she's a great talent. I think she's a wonderful worker. And the sky's the limit for her, to be quite honest.
Right. And definitely that she's, she's going to be somewhere on the TNA One Night Only pay-per-view for the women's knockout sometime this year. She already worked for them about a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it, yeah, definitely. Hopefully they'll pick her up soon.
I'm about to say that. I was like, I hope they pick up. There's two other chicks who I was like, man, they got a tag division. They didn't pick these two chicks up. I really thought they should have picked up the Canadian Ninjas from Shimmer. I think they're real good too.
But yeah,
that's just fantasy booking and stuff, you know. If I was the one with the pin, I'd have picked them up.
Right. And you've been working for us. I've seen you working with companies like PWS a whole lot, either in tag team or single competition.
Mhm. Yeah, man. I love PWS. They're great guys. They gave me a lot of great opportunities. You know, this year I got to wrestle New Jack the night before he retired. That same match, I was in there with Tommy Dreamer. Like, me and Dreamer, like, I didn't want to say, like, we wouldn't have it, but I tried to definitely stay working with Dreamer. He was a favorite of mine growing up, so it was a real honor to work with both him and Jack. And then, like, to get praise from guys like Fit Finley and Simon Dean and Hurricane when I got back to the locker room, it's a very big morale boost. It made me feel very good and confident that, you know what, I can do this.
Right. And I saw you also work with Goldust also. Dustin Reynolds.
Yeah. That's my favorite match of my career at this point.
Right.
That's one of them surprises. Like, you know, that wasn't even planned or nothing like that. That was just a surprise thing. I came there to wrestle Max and the Sex Power stuff. But since someone had canceled on the show, they just said, yo, we're moving you up to the main event against Dustin. Man, if you know anything about this promotion, this is NWS. They used to take, like, other people's gimmicks. Like, they would do Doink the Clown, and they would have someone else dress up as Doink the Clown. So when they said, I was going to wrestle Goldust, I thought it was going to be somebody else. I'm like, ain't no Goldust ain't coming to wrestle me, man. Come on, stop playing games.
Yeah, that's another promotion on in the Northeast.
And if people want to find out about them, just watch one of their documentaries. They got two of them out. That Card
right.
Subject to Change, it's on Netflix. And this one called Slammed Inside Indie Wrestling. That's the second one. That one also
right.
features Ring of Honor and former TNA star. Well, I think he's former at this point, Zima Ion. He's on it as well.
Right. Yeah. And I noticed that I did see, I think, one of their documentaries on there, on A&E, putting over Zima Ion and other guys.
Danny
like,
Inferno, yeah, that's the...
Yeah.
That was the second one. That's the Slam Inside Indie Wrestling. I had like a
yeah.
quick two-minute thing on it. Like, they didn't have me on it a lot.
Right. And also, I noticed the promoter they used to be doing women kings and queens from WSU in the past. They be having it right.
I was thinking, could you repeat that? I didn't hear you, John.
Yes, I remember when they had WSU talent on it. On that show, usually to work with the guys, the King and the Queens tournament.
Oh, yeah. I loved that thing, man. They
right.
The new company that picked up WSU does it now, I think. It's owned
Beyond
by people
Wrestling, yeah.
Beyond Wrestling, yeah.
They do it. Right.
Shout out to those guys, too, man. I worked one of their shows. It was like it was more like a seminar thing for Mike Quackenbush and stuff. And it was fun. They definitely made me feel at home there. I like what they're doing, just on the strength that it's different. I understand a lot of people don't like it because it's not traditional, but I'm a crazy person like that. Somebody says different, and that usually garners my attention right off the bat.
Right, that's... Yeah, definitely. And how was... working for ICW.
Who, Jack Savage?
Yes.
There was a point me and Jack was cool. I like working for ICW personally. It's just like a lot of other super indie fans when you get there and stuff. You know, you see a lot of names, a lot of people that you watched on TV. But after a while, man, most people are really down to earth anyway. It's just,
right.
you just sit there and you chill. Just take it easy. Take it one day at a time. It's all easy.
Right.
Jack's a real nice guy. He doesn't like me currently, but I don't have no hatred towards Jack. I like Jack. He's a cool guy.
Right. Yeah, him and other promoters like Frank Goodman, Mass Mania, when he was up there in New Jersey, they had that feud.
Oh, man, Frank Goodman, that's a name I haven't heard in years, man. Believe it or
right.
not, I was supposed to work for Goodman's promotion, and I think it was August 17th or something like that. I forgot the exact date because we were supposed to do the Nigerian Nightmare thing over there. We were supposed to wrestle
right.
Headbangers. But the other Nigerian Nightmare, Aaron, he's actually missing in action. Like, I haven't heard from this guy since March, but before March
yeah.
he had fell into a coma, so I don't really know
yeah,
his status.
And I'm glad that he made it back, and also he got back into shape also, and he's trying to make another return, hopefully.
I don't. I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. I don't see it happen. We went to I was with him his last show. We did JCW together. You know, Insane Clown Posse's company.
Right.
And
yeah.
They gave us a run in and stuff at Oddball Brawl. And there was a point, we were working the Ring Riders, and I went to hit both of them with a moonsault at the same time. And, like, Aaron set them up kind of bad. So after that, after I pretty much landed on them terribly on the moonsault, I asked him, I said, yo, why you didn't set them up correctly? He said, bro, I can't move these guys. I don't have no physical strength to do it. And I'm like, oh, man, this ain't good. Thank God they just gave us a run in and not a whole match. So
right.
I think... It kind of sat in his head that it's quite possibly over, but, you know, I wish you would at least said something. because by him disappearing, he actually canned on us. We were supposed to do Insane Clown Posse's music video, and shit, I haven't seen Aaron since the day before we were supposed to leave for the music video. I haven't heard from him.
Right.
But, you know, I wish him the best, man. If his health is really doing bad like that, I personally hope that he stays away from wrestling and at least gets his life back in order.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And do you currently watch the product of WWE, TNA, or ROH?
Yeah, I try to watch it sometimes because I got a lot of friends in all three of those companies, so I try to watch, at least to watch their stuff.
Right.
What happened? Oh, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it's like they definitely Ring of Honor definitely, you know, they trying to make it more popular still, trying to get more bigger markets for mainstream people to watch it.
I hope they nail that, man. I always got a lot of good guys, a lot of good talent. And, you know, it's sad to say a lot of guys who's there may not go on to be in TNA or the WWE. But the stuff that they're doing there in Rings of Honor is phenomenal. Like, I feel like someone once said that the only thing an indie wrestler is a wannabe celebrity. And I said, why? Because we're not rich or something? If you look at it talent-wise, there's nothing that we're not doing here that isn't amazing. A lot of indie wrestlers out there are phenomenal. And, I mean, if you just took it on talent, based everything on talent, it'd be beyond a celebrity, man. They'd be like superstars. They'd be looked at like how wrestlers looked at in Mexico and Canada and stuff like that. But, you know, people don't look at it that way. And I guess because it's not mainstream or they just don't get to see it in that light. And when companies like ROH, PWS, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and all those companies, I really hope that they get something more. Like, even if they're not going to get a big WWE, like, TV deal, like, I mean, get a couple of good local cable channels. You never know what could turn into the next ECW or the next big revolution in pro wrestling. But that's what I'm hoping for. I honestly think right now, currently, indie wrestling is probably more popular than it's ever been. I've been wrestling since 2000, I can tell you personally. It has never been this popular. And it's really due to guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, a lot of guys who are known that came out the indies, who are now on top of the wrestling business. I think it's only a matter of time before we see an independent level company go on to do something a lot bigger.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They definitely need to get that name out there and have more of these, also these mainstream fans that need to know more about the indie scene. Also, there's more wrestling out here besides on mainstream television. Way more.
Exactly. I think fans are starting to wake up to it. They're starting to see it more and more. You know, you can tell, man. I see the crowds are starting to get back to how they used to be out here. Like, the Great Muta Show, I remember PWS drew, like, I want to say about 2,000 plus and stuff.
Right.
Like, it was to the point that you start to look at the crowd and continue to see faces. The only thing you just make out is just silhouettes. I'm like, man, this is good. I haven't seen a show in a while that packed up like that. And I think Tommy Dreamer said packed up like that. There's a couple of films that's been drawn really, really good.
Right. And definitely I keep hearing Conan was saying that Triple A was going to have a U.S. brand. Something major is coming either at the end of this year or early next year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have all types of diversity. And it's going to be on a new U.S. Network like the called the L Ray Channel. And he definitely have ties with the president of the Hub Channel also. And they talking about that they want to definitely trying to be as they can surpass TNA. For that instance, that's how much he has faith in the product. And put a lot of.
I wouldn't put it past it to happen. I mean,
right.
I think personally, because like I said, you know, American fans, they're really mainstream. They don't tend to watch a lot of indies or other things like that. I think
right.
a lot of them don't really realize how good the luchadors are. I mean, you ask the average American fan about Lucha Libre, and the only name they could come up with usually is Rey Mysterio or now in case Sin Cara. But,
right.
You know, these
and
guys
they don't know the history of Sin Cara as mystical.
Exactly. I was like, you think he's good now? I mean, imagine if you would have seen him in Mexico. It wasn't so many botches. It was more crisp because that's his element, you know?
Right.
And I always told people, man, like, if you're really a wrestling fan, you got to give all wrestling a chance. Like, I'll be honest. Like, there's certain kind of matches I'd be like, because I've never been a big hardcore wrestling person, but I watch it because once I became a real wrestling fan, you watch everything. And that wound up sparking my love for Big Japan Pro Wrestling. As a matter of fact, one of my friends, I actually seen him work way before me and him became friends, was Masada, because I just sat down and watched a whole bunch of Big Japan. I'm like, wow, this guy's awesome. Then I met him at Urban Wrestling Federation. Cool guy.
Right, and definitely Urban Wrestling Federation. The only problem I had was they should have concentrated more on the storyline. Should have been more focused on wrestling instead of being all of this hustling and killing people off.
Well, the killing people off thing, they didn't just do that to be something cool. That was due to Rashi Brown, who was the heavyweight champion, pretty much just demolishing the promotion verbally on anybody's blog talk show that would listen. Like, he was
right.
He was really upset about what had happened there. I wasn't there, like, around the time when Rashi was there and stuff, but, you know. And that's what that was more or less about. As a matter of fact, my former tag partner at TWS, Devious, was the guy who played Rashi Brown when he got shot in the head.
Right.
But, you know, that was like that. But I honestly believe that had it been around longer, it would have evolved into something way respectable. I think it was just, it was growing pains, you know? This is a very new product, and
right.
they had to figure out the mechanics of how to make this new machine work. And,
yeah.
you know, occasionally the owners still say a company's going to come back eventually, whether it will or won't, you know. It was at least a fun experience, and it was something different.
Right. And it was, they was trying to, I was hoping for them to get on, like, a network like BET.
They were actually, the last show they did was a test run for HBO, I believe.
Right.
Like, that's what they were going for. Like, when I did the trial for Urban, that was the heavy talk, that they were trying to get a TV deal with HBO.
Yeah, that would have been good. But I definitely like how they use the independent, you know, rappers or legendary rappers combined with indie wrestlers and other wrestlers that made it big in the combination.
I felt the same way too, man. There's a big correlation between indie rappers and indie wrestlers, but, you know, some people don't really see it, but there it is, man. I said, we're all pretty much in the starving artist boat.
Right.
A lot of us are more talented than our mainstream counterparts.
Yeah, we definitely, running out of time. We have about 40 seconds left. Anything to plug?
Plug Skull Wrestler on Instagram and Sonny Black on Facebook.
And that's what's up. You can also contribute to on the Wrestling F Factor group page on Facebook. You can plug anything on there also.
Sounds good, man. I hit you up online. Take care, y'all. Peace.
You too, man. Yeah, that was Sonny Black. one of the top names out there in wrestling. Yeah, this is Wayne Benitez Jarrett signing off. You can listen to the archive right on Blog Talk Radio or on Wrestling X Factor group page on Facebook. Yo, and I'm out.
Never like to ballin', but I maintain to keep a grip on for mic and say a punchline just to get the crowd hype.
Right.
I never could determine who's the best. It was Diva K, your rap, so that nigga no finesse. But now I maintain to flip my own career. Joe didn't go gold, there's something wrong in here. Cause everybody knows I got the skills to pay the bills. Plus I got the flow, cause you know the hit is real.
What?
Top notch, I give you nothing but the raw killing. But don't make jacks, it make me have to get feeling. You wouldn't like it when I flip the script. Cause when I flip the script, my doctor have an empty clip. Yeah, straight from the Ave of Trinity. I hate it when a juvenile tries to prove his masculinity. I got the whole vicinity locked down. Police hater, look what they've done to Tupac now. You make me wanna blast or something. But for now I keep infiltrating these crews that be fronting. I know these other MCs be hating it, because the Bronx keeps creating it. Rock on. The bigger nigga from the Bronx, Fat Joe. Hey yo, I'm coming on the dance with the slip of 10C. The name is Fat Joe and the crew is BDP. 93 was the year that I debuted, representing for all my niggas getting booted. Now who wins the number one body for on the set? When it's San Fran, I go check, way in tech. Otherwise, I live the real life back in the VX. Known for transforming on rappers like the G-Set. You didn't know I order hits and whatnot. Don't make me have to let the door through to hit the super shot. Ain't it funny how nobody really cares? 1 minute you're here, the next minute you're under there. Word to Christ, I put out your light. Every strike's a sight, KO's a no fight. They do like Joe with this murderous flow. The Bronx keeps creating it, you know how that goes.